Amen. Welcome again to Back to Church Sunday. So excited to be up here and to be able to get to start our next sermon series here, which is just simply called Stronger Together. Not this past summer, but the summer before, I had the awesome opportunity to go with a team from Houston First here to Kenya, and it was amazing. It was great for me to be there, but at the very same time, my kids were also in Ohio at what Beth and I love to affectionately refer to as grandparent camp, right? And so we take a couple of weeks, we send them up there, we let them go with grandparents, and then we don't have kids for 2 weeks. It's a really sweet deal. I highly recommend it to anyone. But like you may have noticed, I'm in Kenya, so it's not just like Beth and I by ourselves. It's just Beth by herself. And she really liked it, right? She actually liked it a little more than I was really okay with at first. But because she never has time to herself, right? It's between the kids and me, we're all a little high maintenance sometimes, and she's the one that we all lean on, right? And so for her, it was just this really incredible time to just be alone for a little while. Again, I was gone for 2 weeks, kids were gone for 2 weeks, and that first week was like heaven for her, I think. She stayed up as late as she wanted, right? She didn't have to worry about getting anybody out the door in the morning. She's kind of a night owl anyway, and so she would rather sleep until noon and stay up until 2 in the morning. You know, if nothing else was happening in life, that's kind of what she would do. And so she was able to do that, and it was great. But then after about a week or so, she realized that, you know, the dog was really not as great of a companion as she would have really hoped. And she began to get a little lonely, right? Now, that actually made me kind of excited. I was glad to hear this because I was afraid she was just going to, you know what, just stay in Kenya. We're good. But the idea there is that for all of us, like, we all have busy lives and those kinds of things. And I know for many of us, we would love to just have an opportunity to just be by ourselves, right? Even just for 5 minutes, maybe, right? But all of us, even after we have that time to ourselves, all of us have this need and this desire to be together, to be with others, right? To find strength in relationships there. And so what I want to talk about today is how we can actually, you know, through God's word, how we can actually be stronger together, how we might be able to move out of our places of isolation. And obviously we've learned isolation really well over the last 6 months, right? We've learned how to hunker down in our homes there and make sure we stay 6 feet away from everybody, or we just stay in our homes or apartments and we just make sure we don't have contact with anybody. I mean, COVID has taught us how to isolate, right? But man, I think we've all kind of realized that we weren't made for isolation, right? Even for some of the most introverted people, I know I've heard from some that are pretty introverted that have said, man, COVID's the best thing ever. Like, you kidding me? Like, I don't have to talk to people? This is great. This is awesome. But even for the people who are the most introverted ever, like we have this need to be with others. And this is how the church was designed to function by God himself, right? That we would come together. Today I want to start I think it's a 4-week series that we're going to be looking into how it is that we are stronger together than we ever would be apart, right? And so before I jump into that, we're eventually going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 today. And so if you want to turn your Bibles there, pull that up, we'll have it on the screen for you as well if you don't have a Bible with you. But before we get into that, though, if you would, just pray with me. Lord God, we thank you so much for your presence here with us, and we thank you, God, that you allow us to be together. I thank you, Lord, that after all this time that we've been apart, that you've allowed us to be together here today. Lord, I pray that you would speak into our places of isolation. Help me, Father, to speak your words. Lord, it is my desire, God, that my words would be your words here today, God, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, and that you would just simply help us all, Father, to just say yes to you. However it is you might be leading us, whatever it is you might be challenging us with, God, help us to say yes to you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and I want to read for you verses 8 through 12. And now, verse 12 is the one that we're going to kind of hang our hat on toward the end. But I think it's really important that we kind of process our way through down to verse 12, because there's some really good things that the author of Ecclesiastes is saying getting up to it as well. So let me just read these verses for you. Again, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, and I'm reading out of the New International Version. And it says, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a common phrase throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, a miserable business. Verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So what I want to do then is I want to kind of go back through verse by verse here and actually show you like how it is that we are stronger together, how it is that we are better together. It actually reminds me of, there was a show that I saw on Netflix one time about, it was titled Better, Faster, Stronger. And the whole show, I don't recommend it, by the way, just to be clear, but the whole show was about how athletes have been affected by the use of steroids, right? And so they can get better, faster, stronger by using these different medicines and everything in order that they can, you know, be better, faster, stronger. Now, obviously, that's not a healthy way to do it, right? But praise God that he gives us, through his word, a healthy way that we can be better, faster, and stronger together. And let me just give you a little hint in all of this, is together is the most important part of all of that. Many times, particularly, again, for someone like myself who I like to just get stuff done, right? And so sometimes I hesitate to ask other people to help because, you know, I just, in my mind, I think, well, if I just do it, then I'll get it done before I would even ask somebody else to help. But the truth of the matter is, and so really what I'm equating is that I can do it better, faster, stronger by myself. But the truth of the matter is that at the end of the day, I just end up doing it all myself. And I don't do anything better, faster, or stronger when I'm doing it all myself. No, we're designed to do all this together. So let me just jump into verse 8 here. Now, what's interesting here with verse 8 is we kind of get the picture of what it looks like to be alone, right? This man who has no son and no siblings, no son or a brother, right? And what's interesting here, the guy has some money, right? The bank account is pretty heavy, right? Like he's got a good job. I mean, he's cranking it out. He's laughing all the way to the bank. Yet, it's as if he recognizes that he has no purpose in his life. Like, work is just work. Money is just money. Like, what's the point of all of this if I have no one to be with? See, if your work and focus are just on you, then you will not see significant purpose or value in yourselves. Right, and so let me say that again. If your work and your focus are just on you. They're just, if all you are looking at is you, then you will not see significant purpose or value in yourself. See, all you will see is what and who you don't have. If you're just focused on you, all you're going to see is what you don't have. All you're going to see is the money you didn't make. All you're going to see is the project that you didn't accomplish. All you're going to see are the failures that you've accomplished in your life, right? Like if all you're doing is focusing on you, then the enemy is going to find a way to help you see everything that you are not. Our purpose is only found in how we impact others. Our purpose is found when we are together with God, impacting the people that God has surrounded us with. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, I don't want to go too far into what it means that God is going to prosper you and those kinds of things, because I think if you look through Scripture, the prosperity of God might look a little bit different than how we might define that in a worldly sort of measure there. However, what I do want us to really hold on to and grab onto here is that this means that God has a plan for your life. Hear me now. God has a plan for your life. If you have never walked with Jesus before, God has a plan for your life. If you have been walking with Jesus for 100 years now, God still has a plan for your life. If you have walked away from Jesus, God still has a plan for your life. If you are feeling depressed and frustrated with life, God still has a plan for your life. He has a hope and a future for you. And I don't know what your prosperity is going to look like, but God says that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. It's just not about you. That's what we've got to understand here, is that we are never going to find our purpose in us. We have to go to the one who created us. Only He can give us our purpose. Only He can reveal to us our purpose. And that purpose will always be revealed in the ways that we are impacting others around us. See, this is a really important distinction here. Our purpose is not found in the people around us. Hear me now. Our purpose is not found in the people around us. Our purpose is found in God as we impact the people around us. This is really, really important because as great as your family is and as much as you may love each other, your purpose is not found in your family. Like, as great as your job is and as much as it might provide for you and for your family, your purpose is not necessarily in your job, right? Like, as great as your friends are and as supportive as they are to you, your purpose is not necessarily found in them. Like, your purpose can only be found in God. And God may use your work to accomplish your purpose. And God may use your family to accomplish your purpose. And may use your friends to accomplish your purpose. But your purpose is not in them. Your purpose is in Him. Amen? It's a really, really important distinction to make there, because if we think that our purpose is only found in the people around us, then we will get really frustrated when they fail us. And then we'll look at God and say, "How could you?" Right? Well, He didn't. We had our focus in the wrong direction there. Let me keep going here, because I got a lot more to say. Verse 9, So again, it says here in verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If you're in a community group this week, you're gonna be focusing on Luke chapter 10. And I want to just read this real quick. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And then 1 through 3 and then 17 through 20. And so it's, again, Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two. Watch this now. That's a really, really important detail there. He sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, and send out workers," to send out workers into the harvest field. "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Now skip down with me to verse 17. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, even the demons submitted to us in your name. And some of you might be hearing that like, yeah, I don't know if I really want to sign up for that. Trust me, you do, all right? Verse 18, he replied, this is Jesus speaking now. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Wow. I hope you all are getting this here. So the picture is that Jesus has these 72 disciples, okay? And so obviously that's more than just the 12, that you know, the apostles that are there. But he's got these other 60 guys as well, and he sends them all out two by two. And he's like, okay, you guys are going to go all into the towns that I'm about to get to, and I'm giving you authority to cast out demons and to heal people and to restore people and all this kind of stuff. And not only did he send them out, but it actually happened. And it happened as they went out together. Do you see that? He sent them out two by two. He didn't send them out one at a time. He didn't just send them out in isolation. He sent them out together. And when they came back rejoicing because of the fruit that they saw and the ministry that was accomplished through them. Think of this kind of like a little while back, there was some technology started in the form of an assembly line, right? Before that, cars were just nobody had them until some guy named Ford showed up and said, you know what? What if we start this assembly line thing? We just have one person do this one job like all day, and then we have another person do this other job, and they keep doing that one thing, and they get really good at that one thing, right? And then they'll go and they'll pass it down, and eventually the assembly line began, and all of a sudden now cars are being mass produced to the point where now they just have robots doing it. But that's a whole nother conversation there. That's kind of the idea of what we need to see here in terms of how we can, as it says there in verse 9, have a good return for our labor. See, some of us are trying to get into stuff that really isn't our thing. But if we just stay in our lane and do what God really has for us to do, and we stay connected to other people who are really good at other stuff, then when we go at this together, like when we go about disciple-making together, when we go about leading people to Jesus together, when we go about like helping people grow in their faith together, like when we go about serving together, when we do these things together, then I don't have to do everything. You don't have to do everything. We just do what we're good at. You do what you're good at. And we all have a better return for our labor, right? Like that's what the church, how the church can function stronger and better together. That's what we do. All right. By the way, little teaser here. Next week, as we continue on in this series of Stronger Together, we're going to look at spiritual gifts, and we're going to dive into this a little bit more. So I'm just going to just set that aside for right now. We got a lot to say about that, and we'll get into that next week. But the whole point is that when we work together, we don't have to work so hard ourselves. And at the end of the day, we're going to end up being more productive, right? Doesn't it just make sense to work smarter and not harder, right? Let's do that as a church. As we come together, like we can be more productive for the kingdom of God. Even with our community groups, you know, we've been talking about this a lot for the last little bit now. Like, what I want you to understand here is part of the reason we're doing community groups like we are is because we want discipleship to happen in community. We want discipleship to happen in a place where we're all together. Like this is great that we're together for worship, but we're not able to have conversations together. We're not really able to break down God's word together in the same way. We're not able to all interact together like this. But in community groups, like, you don't have to disciple someone by yourself. You can accomplish the great commission that Jesus gave to all of his disciples in a group together. And what you bring to that group is going to make a huge difference for everyone else as we're all moving closer to Jesus together. Verse 10. It says, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Not only are we do we have a better return for our labor, but we're also restored when we are together, right? So the truth is that struggle is going to happen. We're all going to have points where we have hard days. We're all going to have points where we kind of struggle to walk with Jesus as we should. And if we don't have someone there with us, it's going to be really easy for us to fall. And truth be told, even if we have somebody there with us, we may still fall. But man, wouldn't it be great to know that you've got another Jesus follower right there with you, right beside you, that's your road dog there, right? That you know is going to be with you thick or thin, and that you know that even if you fall off, that they're going to be right there to help pick you back up and to remind you what the truth of God's word really is, right? We have to have people around us that are going to help us work through these kinds of situations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." So watch this now, because our goal, the goal of restoration is not just so that we can be together. The goal of restoration is so that we can be together with God. Right, like that's our primary focus, right? Remember, he's the one who gives us purpose. And so it's great that I can be restored to you, but if I'm not restored to God through a relationship with Jesus, then I'm going to be missing out. And you can't provide for me what Jesus alone can provide for me. You can't provide for me like my Heavenly Father can provide for me. So it's great that we can be restored, but I have to be restored with God. See, these relationships here are important, not just because you and I are together, but because you and I can help each other stay connected to God. This understanding is so important for us to be able to communicate to the world, right? Because our culture is telling us that as long as we just love each other, we're going to be good. And that's just not true. Like, I'm not opposed to loving each other. Please don't go out of here saying, "Oh, Pastor said we're not supposed to love each other." That ain't what Pastor said, all right? This would be real clear. I got it on video now. I can prove it. That's not what I said. No, but if we're not restored to God, then our restoration to each other is always going to fall short. It's always going to fall short. And it's not, in the end, it's not going to help us to be stronger together, because it's not going to have the infusion of God's Holy Spirit and the power of God in the midst of that. Let me keep running here. Verse 11. It says, "Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone?" Now, obviously, this is talking about physical warmth, but the principle applies spiritually as well, right? 2 Timothy 1:16 says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands," right? So the gift of God that was given through prayer, together, right? So you can't lay hands on somebody unless you're with them, right? And so they were together in that the dispersing of that gift of God. But the flame that God has set inside of us, like that fanning that into flame happens so much more when you got a whole bunch of people around you with a fan as well, right? Like, if I'm up here and I'm a little bit warm and I just have my own fan, like, I might get a little bit cooler. But if I'm standing in the middle of this room and y'all got fans and you're all fanning on me, oh, I'm going to feel real good, right? And let's be honest here. Like, we're talking about fanning the flame. Like you know, when you were at home watching a video for worship, and even for those of you who are watching now, like it's great that we have that technology and that opportunity. But when you're around other people that are fanning you into flame in worship, like you trying to tell me that don't feel different, right? You trying to tell me that doesn't encourage you differently? You trying to tell me that doesn't lead you out of this building and into the world a little bit differently? Like, it does. It means something when we're together. Like, we're able to fan into flame the gift of God that he's put inside of each and every one of us. And so we're not just the people that are trying to hold on to the gift ourselves, but we can kind of make that flame even bigger so that we can take it out with us into our work life. Verse 12. I knew I was going to get there for long. Verse 12. "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken." I remember a little while back, I think Jesse had posted a video on his Facebook, and there was this, it was a lion that was out on a safari somewhere. And this lion was just kind of out. Well, he was not being very smart, actually. But he was out just kind of roaming around and by himself. And before long, he found himself in the middle of a pack of hyenas, right? Now, one lion, one hyena, that's not much of a fight there. And so nobody is coming around. But this was a pack of like 20 hyenas, right? And so you see in this video, and I almost played it, but I was like, I don't know, people got weak stomachs around here, so I didn't want to go too crazy with it. But, and so you see on this video where this lion is like, I mean, he's like roaring his brains out, right? And so the hyenas, they're kind of staying at a distance, but then every once in a while, one kind of come up from behind and kind of nip him a little bit. And then as soon as he turned, another one come and nip him a little bit. And every once in a while, that lion would get his mouth on one of those hyenas. But as soon as he did, there were four others that would just jump on him, right? And that the lion would kind of run a little bit, and the hyena's right there after him. And you can see, like, this lion is wearing out. This lion is getting tired. And the hyenas are just getting closer. That circle's getting a little smaller because the lion's not going as far now. And they're getting to a point where they're about to all just jump on top of this guy, right? And just have a mighty feast. And then off in the distance, there's another lion. And this lion begins to kind of work his way across the safari here. And it's hard to tell on the video how far away this guy is. But it's far enough that that it took him a little while to run there, right? A few seconds anyway, like maybe 30 seconds to get there. And he's not even going at a dead sprint, right? He's just kind of casually, like just kind of moving that direction. But you notice, like as soon as he gets within an eye shot, one of those hyenas, like his head all of a sudden comes off the first lion and finds that other one. And all 20 of them do that same thing. And as soon as they see that second lion, those 20 hyenas are gone. They're gone. Like one lion, 20 of us can take one lion. But two lions, we all about to die, right? Right? This is the idea of what it means to be stronger together. Like we go out there by ourselves and we may feel pretty strong on our own. Like even spiritually, like we might feel pretty good about where we are with Jesus. Like we might feel pretty strong about being able to just kind of be out there and just kind of be wandering around everything. But before long, we're going to find ourselves surrounded by the enemy and we're not going to know how to defeat it, right? Like we're going to find ourselves turning one way and feeling nipped here and turning the other way and feeling attacked there. And when we're all by ourselves, it can be really easy for the enemy to attack and for the enemy to wear us out. But what if there was just someone else? What if there was just one other Jesus follower that was out there who just kind of kept an eye on you? What if there was just somebody else that when they saw that you were struggling, they could begin to make their way toward you? Because as soon as the enemy sees that there's somebody else in the picture, as soon as the enemy sees it's not just these 20 hyenas on a line, as soon as the enemy sees that, oh, well, now you're stronger together. Now you're able to defeat the enemy together, because where you're weak and I'm weak, God is strong. But together we can keep our focus on Him. Together we can see that it's not just about us. It's all about the power of Jesus Christ inside of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 say, "But the Lord said to me," this is Paul speaking, "the Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties.'" Watch this. "For when I am weak, then I am strong. It is not because I am anything. It is only because Jesus is everything. And so long as I stay connected to Him, and as long as we stay connected to each other, we can keep ourselves reminded that Jesus is the only one that is providing power in this relationship here. Jesus is the only one who's scaring away any hyenas. But we've got to be together to remind ourselves of where that power is coming from." 2 Corinthians 13:4, and I'm going to wrap this up right now. It says, For to be sure, Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in Him, yet by God's power, we will live in Him in our dealings with you." See, I can be overpowered. Each of us can be overpowered. But God can defend me, and God can defend you. And if you and I are together with God in Christ, we will never be stronger. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And as they do, I want us just simply to recognize that isolation looks a lot of different ways. Sometimes for a believer, isolation looks like, well, you know, I've got this thing on my own, and I really I don't really need any help here. I can manage, right? And so isolation might look like, well, I'm okay, I don't really need anybody else. Sometimes isolation can look like, well, you know what, I have failed in ways that nobody else knows about. And so the best way for me to be able to manage what's been going on is if I just stay away from everybody else. Sometimes isolation looks like, well, you know what, I don't really know much of anything about the church. And so rather than trying to figure out what all those crazy people are about, I'm just going to stay away. Maybe I'll catch something online or something. But I just don't really know about this whole relationship with Jesus thing, right? Isolation can look a lot of different ways. For some, isolation is even, well, I had a bad experience with the church before, and so I don't really want to get into all that again. And so I'm just going to, you know what, I'm just going to do my own thing, and I'm sure the Lord will be okay with that. Like, I just want you to know, the Lord is not okay with you being isolated. You're not supposed to do life by yourself. We're not supposed to feel lonely. We're not supposed to feel by ourselves. We're not supposed to feel less than. Like, we should recognize that when we are together, we are never stronger than when we are with Jesus. I forget that sometimes. I'm just going to be honest with you. Maybe you forget that sometimes too. Maybe you get in the middle of stress and anxiety and worry, and you forget the power of Jesus Christ that's available to you as well. Wouldn't it be awesome? There was somebody there that was walking with you. Wouldn't it be awesome if you actually had a relationship with Jesus so that you knew that you weren't just doing life by yourself, but you were together with Him? Stand with me if you would. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to sing. And in this time, if you've never experienced a relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you to just pray to Him today. It's a matter of just simply saying, you know what, I accept that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross that I could be saved. And I just confess with my mouth even right now that He is the only way, truth, and life. He is my Savior. However it is that you might be isolated from God or isolated from others, He is able to make a way in your life today. Let's submit ourselves to Him. Lord God, help us to hear from You. Help us to submit to You. Help us say yes to You even now, that we would not settle for isolation, but we would find our strength in You and in Your church. Amen.